Morning, everybody.
Good morning, sir.
Well, at this time, what I would like is to read from the Bible as the foundation of what we're going to preach about today. And so if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 26, starting at verse 12. Okay? Verse 12. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Let us pray. Father, you are a great and mighty God. You are a God that can do all things. You have created this universe, and you even took the time to create us. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. I thank you for your ability to do the work that you've done here with the Church of the Well. I thank you for these people that have become a part of this house. I pray that you continually bless them, and may they continually draw out of you, draw out of your spirit, draw out of your Bible, and draw out what you have them to need, what they need of. And I thank you, Father, for all that. And may today be a day that marks their walk. Today will be a significant day, and I hope it will get them on the path that you want each of us to pursue. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning again. I'm excited about being here. This thing is, well, Mark's not here, but I feel like Mark Trost. Oh! Well, I was, you know, Mark and I go back and forth, so. Anyway, I'll repent to him later. I was just teasing. Well, again, good morning, everyone. We have some visitors here this morning, and I just want to welcome. I know Alan and his family are here, and we're blessed that they are here this morning. Kathy Terry is here this morning. I'm blessed that she's here this morning. And so we just want to welcome everyone. I didn't get a chance to meet you guys, but welcome this morning. Bless you guys. I'm friends with Robert and Yvette Ortega. So it's great, and we just want you guys to feel welcome and know that we are blessed that you are here today. And thank you guys for taking the time to be a part. Got a quick little story to tell you as we get ready to get into the Word. It was a pastor friend of mine, and he was not a very close friend, but he was a friend. And he was out praying one day at his church, and as he was praying, he sensed God's presence, and he knew. He was hearing Holy Spirit give him an idea. He knew it was a vision that he was giving him. He started continuing to pray, and he continued to hear. And so he began to write it down, and he wrote this vision out. And he knew, you know what, this is the Word of God to me in this house. And so he was adamant. He was excited. But, you know, being part of a certain type of denomination, they had an elder board that controlled a lot of the things they did. So what he had to do, he had to take this vision that God gave him and take it to the elder board and present it. So he takes it to the elder board, and there's 12 elders and himself, so it's 13 people, and he presents it. He presents it with passion. He's sitting there, you know, he's giving them, you know, he's kind of preaching the best sermon he's ever preached in his life. And he's doing this, and so he gets done, he sits, the board votes, and the vote turns out 12-1. No. We're not doing that. You know, we're not going to do that. And the pastor, you know, was stirred. He was bothered. So he stood back up and he said, "Wait a minute. Let me pray." So he began to pray. And as he prayed, he said, "Lord, Let my brothers know that this vision is not of mine, but the vision is of you. And it comes from you, Lord. And as soon as he said that, a lightning bolt struck, went through the window, hit the table, cracked the table in half, threw all the elders to the ground, and everybody was laying there. And then, you know, after everyone kind of, you know, got their senses and everything else, kind of stood back up, and the pastor turns to the elders and said, "You see, it's the word of the Lord." And the chief elder turned to him and said, "Well, it looks like the vote is now 12 to 2. Anyway, I know it's a corny joke. Pastor Rob got it. He does. He does. You love it. You love it. Yeah. Hey, I know you'd be rolling. I know. Many times, you know, and that kind of leads me into the word that we're going to talk about today that I think is very important. Some time ago, several weeks ago, actually, Pastor Rob came up and he preached about vision and the importance of it. And today I'm going to preach about vision also, but it's going to be a lot more specific. And the thing is I'm not going to add or take away from what the word that he brought, because I truly believe what he brought was the foundation of what this is going to come from. Okay? So if you have not took the time to listen to it, if you weren't here that Sunday, please go to sermon.net, or you can go to iTunes and look up the podcast and listen to it, okay? Because it actually is the, like I said, the groundwork of what we're going to be discussing today. And it's very important. And the reason I want to talk about vision today, because it's so important as we begin our new year, as 2014 is coming, okay? I believe it is a marked time for us as a people, as a group of people that are part of this house. I believe it's going to be somewhat a new beginning. This last 4 months, a lot of you guys, to me, it's been a whirlwind. There's been a dramatic amount of change. There has been a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, but also a lot of healing and a lot of redeeming and a lot of renewing of people. And to me, that's what this process has been. If you look back, like Robert was talking about this morning, and you see where we started to where we are today, I mean, I'm just blown away. I really am. And it's not by my hand, it's not Pastor Rob's or anybody, but it's by the hand of God. Every time we had a need, a financial need, like all the sound equipment we had, I can tell you, people that don't even go to this church sowed thousands of dollars to allow us to buy this equipment. Okay? That's what blows me away. I mean, these are people that don't even live in Florida, okay, but has listened to some of the podcasts or whatever, and they heard or communicated to us and heard of a need or didn't even know, and they just wanted to sow. So to me, the Father is doing a mighty work here. And for us, we don't want to take it lightly. And the thing is if we don't want to take it lightly, we have to be going somewhere. In order to go somewhere, you have to know you're heading. You got to know where your vision is, where you're going to end up, where the Father wants us to go. And so today, I want to kind of talk about that. And more importantly, I want to establish in you the vision of this house. Okay? Because it's valuable to each and every one of you guys to grab a hold of it and believe it. Number one, I believe you have a vision to be a vision of being a part of this house. If you didn't, you wouldn't be here. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You believe in what we're doing, so that's why you're here. If you do not believe this is where you need to be, then I encourage you, let's find you the place you need to be. Okay? But you need to be somewhere. It doesn't matter to me. Our church is no better than any other church anywhere else. What we're doing here is what the Father's called us to do. And what I hope one day is we become a beacon of light and support to other houses, that we can work together, impact this community. That's what it's about. As they were talking about the Bride of Christ, it's not about the Church of the Well. Bride of Christ is all churches. Right. Granted, we all have little differences of how we do this. You know, I remember reading, you know, one of the big differences between denomination is, oh, you know, when you baptize somebody, are they completely submerged or you just sprinkle water on them? You know what? I really don't care. That's not going to be the reason I get into heaven or not. But that is what separates man. But see, the Spirit of God doesn't separate. It doesn't separate itself between the two. And so it's important for us to have that understanding. And if you are a part of this house and you consider this home, I encourage you to get a hold of this vision and make it part of your vision. Okay? And like I said, and I say this with all sincerity and as much respect as I can, if this is not, please let me know, and I will sit down with you, and we will find a house for you. Okay? I'm not going to be one of these pastors say, well, if this is not where you need to go, you'll figure it out. Look, I'm here to equip you. I'm here. That's what I'm called to do. I'm not here about the number of people we have. And my goal is to make sure people are placed where they need to be, because I believe there's a people out there, and I want pastors out there to send the people that are supposed to be here. You know, and if they're doing that, then guess what? We're all helping one another, and we're going to create this, hopefully, this bride that's going to be of no spot or wrinkle. And that's my hope and my goal. So I hope you understand that and that you grab a hold of it. Anyway, so what I want to talk about today is a little bit of vision. I want to kind of give you some background about it. I know, like I said, Pastor Rob, he is anointed with the ability to preach. I truly believe that. He is a very dynamic speaker and all that stuff. I have realized in my life, I consider myself more of a teacher. And my kids will tell you that all the time, because as a topic comes up, I will sit them down and we will discuss it as I outline it to them. Point one, point two, point three, and we'll go through all the details. And that's true. And even people that have worked for me, they always, you know, they know if they're coming in for counseling or we're going to do some discussion, they know I'm more anointed in that way. So I'm going to do a little teaching here as I get ready to prepare to present the vision of the church at the well. Okay, number one, what is a vision? And a lot of times people get this concept of what a vision is. It's kind of one of these things that's way up here that is unattainable. Or they get that it's a dream, or it's a being able to see something, whatever the case may be. If you go to the dictionary, all these definitions are true. But what I want to talk about today, the way I want to use the word vision, it is a stated aim or objective of a group of people. Okay? It is our objective. Now, where does this objective come from? Well, it comes from God. It comes from Holy Spirit. That's where it comes from. And so, for me, the difference between a dream and a vision is a dream is that. It's a dream. A vision is when you take a dream and you put action to it. Okay? So that's what I'm hoping for us to be able to do today. Now, as we read about, you know, as we read through Scripture and everything, you'll find many places, many instances where God gave vision to men. Okay? The most famous one, in my opinion, is the one that where Adam is in the garden. God started by giving men visions. Okay? First man, Adam, what was the vision he gave him? Anybody? What was the vision statement God gave Adam? Have dominion over the earth, be fruitful and multiply, right? That's his vision for Adam. He said, son, you know, if you turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28, it's in the first book, you know, chapter 28, this is on, you know, the sixth day. He's sitting there talking to Adam, and he says, Adam, be fruitful and multiply with your wife. And as you multiply and take dominion over this earth, this is a place that you will rule. So this is what he's kind of gave him. He said, this is your vision statement. This will guide you, okay? And then he went on to say, you can eat all the fruit. You know, he kind of gave more guidance. But that was kind of like the vision that would be his guiding principle that will help him in his walk with God. And so it's very important to understand it. Now, if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. We read out of the NIV. If you have a different version, that's okay. If you don't have a Bible, let me know, or Pastor Rob or one of the elders, and we'll be happy to get you a Bible. But Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says here, where there is no revelation, in the NIV it says revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. If you read in the New King James, King James, or what have you, revelation is, instead of the word revelation, it has vision. Now, the key point here is that what revelation is talking about is a revealing word that God gives man. Okay? And if a man, there, if a people doesn't receive this revealing word, which this revealing word then becomes their guiding principle, okay, that's what he's talking about here. That is the people that he's calling us to be. He is calling us to be these a people that is able to do all the things that we're supposed to do and following the guidance of what God has called us to do. You guys know I love quotes, and this one I believe was very apropos what we're talking about today, and it's written by Helen Keller. Those that don't know who Helen Keller was, I believe she was born deaf, blind, and mute, and became a changer of society and did a lot of things in education and what have you as a deaf, blind, mute person, which is amazing to me. But this is a woman that truly lived what she said here, and she said, "The most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but no vision." I'm going to tell you that right. Let me read that one more time. The most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but no vision. See, a vision is important because it gives you a heading. It tells you where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, then what you're doing? You're just walking aimlessly. You're lost. You see what I'm saying? And you know, as the shepherd of a flock of sheep, one of my goals is to keep you from just walking off and getting lost, okay? And that's what I want to do today with you guys. So what we're going to be doing, we're going to be going in a direction, and we're going to be doing something that God has called us to do, and we're going to use a vision to be our guiding principle to help us to get where He wants us to be. Now, next week, what we're going to have is we're going to have little documents in the back, little cards that's going to actually have the vision written out, okay? And then along the lines, we're going to have some goals that we have identified that we as a body want to do. Now, the difference between a vision and a goal is, a vision is an overlying principle, like I've already stated. Goals are more specific things with a timeline. Those are actual, tangible things. Don't get the two confused, okay? Because you cannot use a goal as your guiding principle. Because if you do, it is eventually going to end. And it's not going to allow you to do anything outside of the point of what that goal is focused on. Okay, so the goals are birthed out of a vision. So what I want to do now is read to you our vision that we have here at the Church at the Well, okay? And this will be on the website, and like I said, next week we're going to have these. I encourage you, take one, keep it with you, put it on your refrigerator, because it needs to be real to you. You are going to be the ones that's going to help and put this thing together, all right? Church at the Well's vision is to see people saved, healed, set free, equipped, and empowered in order to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. That is our vision. That is our vision. It is founded on the foundational word that Bible brings, and it's in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, where it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Key point here is, Christ himself mandated this vision. He said, go into the world. There's only three commands that Christ gave us. You can read through the whole, if you come up with something different, please let me know, because I don't know of any other. First one is to love your God with your heart, soul, and mind. Love your brother as you love yourself, and go out and spread the good news. Those are the three. That's the three times that he actually said, this is what I want the church, this is what you need to do. Every other time he's gave examples, he was addressing certain issues. But this is one for all of us to grab a hold of. And so for our vision here at the Church of the Well is to see people saved. Okay? We want to be a people that are reaching the lost. Not recycling believers, but reaching the lost. Okay? It's great when we have folks come from other churches and they feel this is their home. I think it's amazing. Okay? I believe that God is bringing them here to be a part of the resources that we need. But my goal is there's a people out there that does not know who God is. And we have to be this light to them. He has called us to be the light to those that are lost and help them come to know who Jesus Christ is. And so through salvation, these other things happen. They get healed. They get set free of all the things, of fear, of past problems, past hurts, past pains, physical illnesses. Once that's done, now we can focus on equipping them and empowering them. And then now what they can do is step out themselves to do what we have already been able to do in them. So I encourage you, get that. Make it a part of your life. Along that, what we birthed was three goals. And again, goals we will add. But these are three strong things that we want to do in 2014. Okay, number one, we want to establish Embrace Grace Ministries and have our first graduating class in 2014. Okay? For those that do not know who Embrace Grace or what Embrace Grace is, it's in a ministry that we're going to be reaching out to unmarried teens or unmarried pregnant teens or young women that are in crisis situations. Okay? Those that are, you know, homeless, they have no family, their parents kicked them out because they found out they're pregnant, and it was unplanned, obviously. And what we want to do is minister the goodness of who Christ is in their lives. The problem is many times the church says don't have abortions, but they're not doing anything to keep them from having one. All right? If you're a 16-year-old girl, and you know your parents just kicked you out, you're on the street, and you're pregnant, okay, and this pregnancy is your problem, and why you're on the street, a lot of times it's just easy to go down to a clinic and pay for it and get it rid of it. Right? And the church says don't do that. Well, what is the church doing? Nothing. Okay, and I'm not saying all church, but I see a lot of things that you see people, you know, protest. But instead of protesting, why don't you put your hand out and tell them, come here, we'll help you. And that's what we want to do here, okay? So we're going to show the love of God through this ministry. Again, that right there is hopefully bring people to salvation, heal some of them, because you imagine they're hurting, okay? Be able to set them free from whatever, maybe, you know, they're walking out some addictions or whatever the case may be, but help them be set free. And then equip them and empower them, not just in the spirit realm, but as moms, okay? As people that can go out and start a career, help them get into school, whatever it may be, whatever we can do, we want to be able to help this ministry. And we're excited about that. We will do that, and that's one of our goals. A next goal that we have, our second goal, is a passion of mine. It's very dear to my heart, is establish a medical clinic to help the underinsured, underserved by the end of 2014. So by the end of next year, I want to have a clinic that we're able to do that. And many of you guys know I'm back in school. I'm getting my doctorate. August, I will finish. I will be able to sit for my license, so I will be able to actually serve as one of the, you know, providers and be able to work in this. We already have some other nursing professionals that are in this body, again, you know, resources that have already volunteered and said they want to be a part. But to me, this is important, again. There are a lot of people out there that are hurting, that don't have access, that don't have insurance, or whatever. I understand the government's trying to do their thing. To me, that's wonderful, okay? But I belong to the kingdom of God, not to the kingdom of the United States of America, all right? This is a place where I am for a period of 80, 90 years, but I spent eternity in the kingdom with God. And so as one of his sons and one of his daughters, I want to show compassion to my fellow man. I want to be able to provide the needs to them. I know there's still people out there. There are probably people getting insurance. I'm not getting into the politics of all that. All I know is there are still going to be people that's going to fall through the cracks. And we want to be a place that where they can get help and we can actually touch their lives through ministry. All right? By helping their physical body, we can hopefully help their spiritual body. The last thing we want to do, and it kind of goes along with Embrace Grace, and that's establish a maternity home here in Central Florida by the end of 2015. Okay? So, again, that just adds to having a place for these young ladies to go to. Talking to Janelle, who is going to be heading up the Embrace Grace ministry, is there's only one maternity home, I believe, in this area that accepts teenagers. Okay? That's a problem. Because the majority of those that are getting pregnant, unplanned, and what have you, are teenagers. So what we want to do is to establish something that is going to meet that need again. What an opportunity to share the love of God, share the love of Christ to these people. Now, I go through all this because I want you to understand and get a hold of and a passion for what we want to do in this area. Now, are these the only things that we wanted to do? No. No. But right now, these are the main three goals we have. And again, it's based upon the vision the Father gave us. Excuse me. The last 4 months, my vision, if you guys look in your bulletins at the very top, it was basically Matthew chapter 28, you know, is spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. As you can tell, as we have matured, as I have matured as a pastor, I was able to then hear Holy Spirit a little better and to articulate the vision a little better. And in doing so, we were able to establish better or different goals. But the last 4 months, you know what my goals were? To have a soundboard, to have a place to meet. You know, to have a Christmas party, which if you did not come, man, you missed a great time. And I know, yeah, Pastor Rob, have to get in an accident. I don't know. Yeah, break your back and all this other stuff. Make sure when you come up and give Pastor Rob a hug, you hug him real tight. And give him a good bear hug. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But the thing is, we had a wonderful Christmas party. That was a goal. You know, to be joined to a people that love God. You know, these types of things, they were very basic things. And now I see that God has established a foundation. Also, me personally, I really haven't shared this with many other people. One was to see a people be healed. We had people that were hurting. I mean, many of us came from a different, a similar church in the local area. There's some hurt that came with that. There had to be some forgiveness that had to happen. And there had to be some redeeming that had to occur in your own life or relationships you have with other people. So those are kind of things that I had. Now, I go through all that because I want you all to be on the same page as the leadership of this house and also the same page that God is taking us. One more step, I challenge each and every one of you, especially heads of your homes, men, I challenge you to sit with your wife and you guys come up with your own family vision. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't know where your family's going to be, what do you envision? Now, I'm not talking, you know, if you want to put on there being financially successful and all that stuff, that's wonderful. That's great. But I'm talking spiritually, where do you see your family? Where do you see it? And then based on that, what are you doing to get there? Okay? See, that's what this is about. The vision is laid out. Now, how are we achieving this vision? That's through these goals, and hopefully other things will come. How are you doing that? And then one more step, what are you doing in your own personal walk? What is the vision for your own life? Do you know where you want to be? What kind of man do you want to be? What kind of woman do you want to be? What's a guiding principle to you? And you know, there's many studies that have been out, that have been done that show that people that do not have a vision many times are not successful at anything. At anything. I don't want to be an unsuccessful person for God. I want to be one of the most successful men for God. Now, does that mean I'm not going to make mistakes? Adam made a mistake. Moses made a mistake. Noah made a mistake. Okay? The Apostle Peter made a mistake. All these men made a mistake, but still, they had the vision that God gave them, personally and corporately. And so I challenge each and every one of you guys to have that. Grab a hold of that and understand that. Now, talked a lot about vision. Again, it's a priority for you to understand that. And like I said, I want you to really get a hold of it and make it a part of what you want to be doing, okay? Really want you to do that. Now, breaking it down a little bit, the vision part to me is pretty easy, okay? The vision part is pretty easy. There are two more steps that has to occur in order for a vision to be an active part of a person's life or a corporate body, and that is faith and action. See, God gave Adam a vision of how to conduct himself on earth. He had to have faith in God and also a faith in what the vision he gave him. Pastor Rob and myself, we had to have faith that the vision he gave us when all this started to start this work, because as many as you know, when I walked away from ministry for a month and a half, I was moving on. I had other talents and gifts that God gave me. I was like, you know what? I guess this is where I need to go. Ministry is not what I need to be doing. And I was completely done. I was over it. But God had other plans. And so God sat me and Pastor Rob down, and he birthed out of us the vision for the church at the well, and then brought three other men with to help establish this work. Now, I say all that because, one, we had to have faith that this is true. Okay? We had to have faith this is God. And we had to have faith that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. Many times, I'm going to tell you, has anyone in here ever had a thought about starting a business, writing a book, doing something, you know, out of your normal work day? You know, some little extra, little something you want, you know, some idea been put in your heart? I believe that's a vision that God's given you. How many people have started? Well, there you go. We get a couple people. Business owners, I know Bertine started a business. I know Ron started a business, went back to school. To me, that's a vision. You know, how many people do that? I can tell you, when I remember having some other friends that were encouraged to go back to school. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to go back to school, but they were encouraged to go back to school. And they were like, yeah, man, that's a great idea, blah, 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 blah. And then it came time to, they lacked the faith that one, God was going to see them through, and two, the faith in themselves that they can make it. And see, this is where the enemy will come and steal, kill, and destroy you. Okay? If you look at through Scripture, God gives a vision. Satan has no role in that. The world has no role in what the vision is. He doesn't mess with it. Where he messes with people is in your faith. That's where he comes and attacks you. He'll sit there and say, are you sure that's what he said? Is that not what he told Adam? Are you sure that's what he wants you to do? Do you really think you can do that? Do you think you're smart enough to go back to college? I know you've been out of school for 20 years, but do you think you can do that? Do you really think you can start a business? Have you ever done that before? Do you think that you can lead this person to Christ? You've never led anyone to Christ. How can you talk to this person about who Christ is? Look at the sin you did yesterday. Now you're going to preach Christ to this man? That is the enemy. That is the enemy robbing you of the vision that he has for you. And I challenge each and every one of you. You need to find what God wants for you. Understand it's the faith of men that is the breaking point. That is the pivotal part of making things happen. Okay? Because then the next step is action. To me, that's the easy part. Now you just got to do what you know to do. You just got to do what you got to do. You know you got your outline. God gave you the outline. You got to be willing to take the first step. I told the story before. I'll tell it again. I remember being in airborne school. Okay? I was all excited. I can tell you, I was pumped up. We had to do a physical fitness test before you go. You had to hit certain benchmarks, and you had to run 2 miles under a certain amount of period or whatever. And I excelled, and I was excited. I was pumped up. I was going. I get to school. School's 3 weeks long. First 2 weeks, I'm pumped, man. I'm like, this is oh man, we got this. This is good. Good times. Well, that third week came. We had to start jumping. Whoa, okay, wait a minute now. Okay, I was given a vision. Now my faith is being challenged. Do I know this parachute's going to open? Do I really know that I'm going to make it? And the hardest part, I'm going to tell you, is when you stand at the door and you're flying and you're standing there and you're looking out and now you got to take that first step. That's the hardest part. I'm going to tell you right now, anybody in here that's ever started a business, went back to school, done anything that has been a challenge, okay, that first step is always the hardest. The first step. The musicians that came up here, and I know some of them, you know, they're like, man, I haven't done that in a long time. But I look at where they were in the beginning to where they are today. They took the first step. Now they're seeing God work in them. See, when I jumped out using the analogy as my parachute being my Christ, he opened up and he saved me. Hallelujah. There was other guys that didn't make it, but that's okay. No. Actually, we didn't have anyone perish. We had a few guys pretty get banged up. They kind of did some dumb things. But the thing is, I had faith in the parachute. And that is where, and I'm going to tell you right now, it was a matter of the faith. Because the actual taking a step wasn't the hard part. It was actually believing I'm going to be okay. And so that's why it's so important. And that's why I say back to the vision. That's why I say it's so important for you to understand that. If you don't grasp what the vision of this house and believe of what we're doing as a body of believers, then, man, we need to find where you are. You know, where you need to be. Because we need to put you in a place where that becomes a passion to you. Okay? The other thing is I know there's people in here that have been given gifts and talents. I'm going to tell you right now, some of those goals that we got listed there, I can't do by myself. I can promise you, Pastor Rob and I are not going to do well in Embrace Grace. I've never been pregnant, don't know what to do with pregnancy except the medical aspects of it, you know. Breathing. Yeah, breathe, take rest. Yeah. But see, I don't think a teenage girl is going to want to come and talk to me. So I need you to do that. God needs you to reach to them. Okay, there are gifted and talented people in this house. And I'm a firm believer that if there's a gift or talent in you, let us together mature it. Let us together let it evolve and become what God wants it to be. I know there's people in here that has a ministry on their heart. Ron Bennett, if he doesn't mind, I'll share. He's going back to school in religious counseling because he feels God has called him to be a counselor of men one day. And I have encouraged him to do that. And you know what? I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you can't, you can do that, but you're not doing it here in this church. How dare I say that? This is our house. This is his house. And how do I tell him he can't use it? Now, there's got to be a right way and a governed way. We're not going to have chaos. But you know what? If that's a blessing, a talent God's given him, let's use it as a body of believers. Amen? That is a problem with too many houses, man. You have people that don't want to do that. And we want to do that here. I know there's other ladies. Miss Strawberry just walked out, but she has a heart of ministry. She's been in, oh my goodness, she has been in ministry longer than I've been alive. Okay? I'm just saying that. I mean, it's real. Okay? She has a heart for outreach. And one of the things she has shared with me, she has a heart for those that are homeless and lost. And what we're going to do in this house, I'm going to tell you that right now, we're going to help her. We're going to help her reach those people. Okay, we're going to help her use the gifts and talents that God has given her. And that's what we need to do. Because see, by doing that, we are achieving this vision. We're achieving the vision of saving people, helping people get healed, setting them free. And guess what we're doing now with these folks? We're equipping them. We're empowering them. That is what our guiding principles are. So, man, I'm excited. I hope you understand that. You have to get a hold of it. I'm telling you, it's so important. And I tell you right now, my wife will tell you, in fact, if you go on my phone, I actually have a vision statement. Every year I change it. I have a personal and I have a family one. She thinks I'm weird, but that's okay. But I use it every year because that's just the way my brain works. And I use it every year and say, have I been this kind of man? You know, was I this kind of father? What kind of father was I? What kind of husband was I? What kind of friend was I? You know, what kind of pastor, employee, or employer, or whatever the case may be, in every area. So I challenge you again to identify that, what God has for you in your life. I believe there's more ministries that's going to be birthed out of this house because it's birthed in you, not in me. You know, you may come to me about something that I'm like, you know what, that sounds great, but I don't want anything to do with it. But that doesn't mean we as a body are not going to rally behind you and help you get it done. Okay? Because I'm like this, you know what, I'd rather give it a shot and try and fail to never try and never and don't know. You know, if we can lead one person, we can be an example to one person, okay? What a testimony. That is what it's about. So, you know what? Go home today. Think about yourself. Think about the gifts and talents God has given you. You know, if it's to just be a good servant, be a good steward over the things we have here, come on Sunday to help set up or tear down or whatever it is, whatever your gifts and talents are, I encourage you to figure it out and start using them. And if you need help to do that, let me know. Miss Vivian, Miss Strawberry, we're just sharing about the outreach you wanted to do a little bit and saying that we as a body are going to be helping you. So I didn't want you to, you know, Willie be sitting there going, they talked about you in service, but it was a good thing. Because Willie's a big guy. I don't want him hurting me or anything. So it was a good thing, ma'am. And so we bless you. I just was sharing that, you know, we really want to get behind you and what the outreach that you want to do, reaching the homeless. And I think it's an amazing thing. And again, what an opportunity. See, I don't look at these things. I don't look at people as, you know, it's more work for me. I look at it as an opportunity to do so much in the community. And that's what we want to do. The last thing I want to kind of share with you is something that, where did I put it? Nelson Mandela said that I thought was just amazing. For those, many of us know who Nelson Mandela is, correct? You know. If you have not ever sat down and read about this man, I would encourage you to. This is a man that I believe I don't know what his relationship is with God. I would think because of his response, his actions, that he is a man of faith. Because the way he carried himself, it demonstrated that. But I do know he was a man that had vision. And he believed in that vision, number one. And number two, he acted on him. I mean, this is a man that spent, I don't know how many upteen years in prison, 27 years in prison, because of the color of his skin, came out, became the president of the country that actually imprisoned him, okay? And instead of being mad at the whites, he embraced them. And he recognized, it's not about the color of your skin, okay? And that's the same thing with Christ. It's not about what you've done, what you haven't done, the color of your skin, the color of your hair, you know. Guess what? You got a Korean up here preaching to you. Hallelujah. It's amazing, you know. And I sound like I'm from the South. That's the funny part. I got friends that say, you from Texas? I was like, no, but you got a Southern accent. I was like, it's South Korean. So, hallelujah. But this is a man that I look at. Now, I never had a chance to meet President Mandela, but I had the opportunity to meet some of the men that worked for him over in South Africa. And I can tell you, not one person, white or black, spoke ill of that man. The words that Mandela said that really has been a part of who I am, that I felt has led me since I was a young kid to where I am today. And it's this saying, it always seems impossible until it's done. It always seems impossible until it's done. Because he right now, the thought of opening a clinic at the end of next year seems impossible. But I can tell you, 4 months ago, starting a church and meeting at the zoo seemed impossible. But we are. And I challenge you guys. You find that thing that God has put on. See, it's not about Tom. It's not about Robbie. It's not about Trevor. It's not about any other man. It's about you and God and what God's put in your heart and what he wants you to do. Okay? I can tell you right now, I've looked out, and I know some of you guys. Some of you guys I don't know as well. And I don't want to do this out of turn, but there are people in this house that I know that I see the anointing of God on them in ministry. Okay? In the sense of ministry in the church. All of us are in ministry as far as being a voice for God, you know, wherever it may be. But I know there's actually appointed men and women. And there's some that came and visited that are not here now. Okay? And I know they are to be here and they are to be a part. So I challenge you, if you don't know where you fit in this house, figure it out. And if you need help, let me know. All right? Well, stand to your feet. I love you guys. I bless you guys. Again, I'm going to read one more time our vision because I think it's important and for you to get a hold of it. And that is Church at the Well's vision is to see people saved, healed, set free, equipped, and empowered in order to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So important. And if you're still walking out some healing, or you need to be set free in some areas, there's some things that we've done to help you do that. Number one, let us know through prayer requests. Two, email us. Three, call us. Okay? There was a family that called me this morning about some things. It's okay. We are here to help you, to support you, and to help guide you along this journey of life that we all walk together. I am blessed to walk with you guys. I am truly moved. I can't tell you how thankful I am for your faith. Again, I'm not above anybody else, but just your faith in me. I am truly moved by that. I don't take it lightly, and if those that have known me closely understand it, I don't look at ministry as a job or a work or, you know, I check it off my box or something. I truly look at it as doing God's work. And for you guys to entrust me with that, I am very, very appreciative and thankful. And so I just want you to know that. And I love each and every one of you guys. When I say that, I truly, truly mean it. Yes, sir.
I need to ask your forgiveness because earlier today I really did forget something that, and God has reminded me of it, that I needed to say. And that, I'll make it real quick. I am stirred, sir. I'm reminded of two things, and this is what I believe, and I feel like the Lord has spoken this to me on several occasions, but one of it is that just because of where we are, I don't know if it's the entire body of Christ, which I really kind of do believe that, but I know it's for us, that we're in a season where don't be in a place where you have not because you ask not. I believe we're in a season right now where God really wants to bless us. I believe we're in a jubilee situation. And I think that what he's telling me is don't be in a position that you don't have because you're not asking. There's things in here that maybe God will remind you of it. I pray that he does, but there's some things that maybe you've given up on. Some things you have kind of, your faith has kind of waned in some areas and everything. But position yourself. And I'm telling you, God wants you to come to him and say, ask me. Ask me and I'll give it to you. He's in this mode, I'm telling you. Don't go home and think it's just church as usual or whatever. There's things in your life that he wants to answer. You're in it. Go for it. Ask him. Mm-hmm. What a hit.
Amen. Amen. And I would encourage you, one of the first things is find out what your vision is today. Ask him. He will tell you. Amen. I don't want to make anyone put anyone on the spot here, but the last thing I want to say is this. As I was sharing earlier, I believe that this is going to be a house where many ministries are going to be birthed. And I was looking around the room as Robert was talking about, because I remember praying in my own personal prayer of seeing many different things that are going to be, things that I can't even imagine, that are going to reach the lost. And I was thinking, as he was speaking, looking across this room, wouldn't it be amazing at each and every one of you, individually or as couples, had a vision for a ministry to reach people outside the walls of this building? Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, I sit there and look at that. What, man, how many people can be touched? And I'm not, you know, granted, we can do it through our own personal relationships, but, you know, as I stated earlier, I've identified two people that have shared their vision for a ministry they want to do. But, man, if you got 40, 50 couples that all of a sudden God puts on their heart, what an amazing work we can be, okay? Why can't a house be full of missions, or not missionaries, but ministries, not just a bunch of people, you know what I mean? Does that make sense? So, anyway, I love you guys. I bless you guys. I pray that you have an amazing week. And if there's anything that we as a leadership team can do for you, we can't do unless you ask or let us know, okay? Please let us know. If you're having anything going on in your life, you're having surgery, if you're having, you know, a difficult time, you're having a good time, let us know. Drop us a short email or something, you know. The phone numbers work. Call the office. You know, it gets forwarded to our cell phones. Let us know. We want to be a part of your guys' life. I bless you guys. I love you. Father, I thank you for those people that you have joined me to, that you have joined together, and that you have given us a vision in order to fulfill your purpose for us into this land. I believe that this is going to reach more than just Central Florida, but I believe it's going to be able to touch the four corners of this world. And I know it is not by what I do or what Pastor Rob does or anybody else, but it's because of your faithfulness in us and that you are working through us in order to do that. I pray that the people get a hold of the vision. I pray that the people decide that they want to be a part, and they allow Holy Spirit to convict them and guide them in what they are going to do. I pray that the people understand the importance of it and allow them to bring their resources together so we can work together for your good and for your will in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. We bless the people, and thank you guys for being here today. See you guys next Sunday. Amen.